This podcast is rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Some material may not be suitable for children.
Mission 215.
Welcome to the Mission 250 Filmcast, where we are watching every movie on the top 250 movies of all time list, according to IMDb. Please go to our website, mission250filmcast.com, if you want to check out our list. We have it all frozen in time. You can see the older episodes and what's coming up next. I am one of your hosts, Denny, and joining me are...
John.
And TC.
And TC.
We are all sick.
We are all kind of sick.
If we all sound a little stuffy, then that's why. TC will be coughing. I'll try to edit out the coughs and you know,
I will try
phlegms
to cough
on the
too much. Yeah.
Microphones as much as possible. But TC, would you want to describe what we do here on this podcast each week?
Sure. Every week we have a task to watch one movie that's from that list that you just mentioned in the beginning, the IMDb Top 250. We watch it, come back, give our thoughts. Danny usually has some great trivia. John has some good insight. I just kind of, already screwed up.
This is the first PG one in a while, so we're going to... Gonna be some edits.
Yeah. And then basically I just say the wrong things, as we just found out right now, and we move on.
So this week we are watching number 185, which is the 1969 movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, directed by George Roy Hill. That's a kind of a hard name to say. I don't know. Two Western bank / train robbers flee to Bolivia when the law gets too close. John, your turn to review the movie first this week. What did you think?
I really liked it. Really enjoyed it. It's very entertaining. It was weird in some places. Was strange, with especially the musical interludes were weird.
Yeah, like the montage stuff.
Yeah.
The bicycle one was sort of interesting, with raindrops keep falling on my head. But then it went into circus music, which is like, why?
Yeah.
What?
He's being Dick Van Dyke. That's why.
Weird. And then the chase scene with the weird 70s non-instrumental, all the voices acting as instruments while they were being chased around in Bolivia. That's just weird.
Yeah.
It's just strange. I swear to God, we'll have to talk about this, but I completely hallucinated something else along with this film that I thought was in the film that was not. I thought there was this other terrible music sequence, and now I don't know when this happened or what this music sequence was. So you guys will have to help me about this later. We can talk about that later.
Yeah, hopefully we can help with that. I don't know.
But anyway, Robert Redford and Paul Newman were amazing. I thought I feel like our cool actors of today don't sort of hold a candle to them in a way, in terms of being like charismatic and just really cool. I don't know. I didn't know that Robert Redford was an unknown, relatively speaking, in this film, because until I looked this up, I assumed that these guys were both at the top of their game. But it turns out Robert Redford was like a new guy. So I thought it was really like amazing. I thought especially Robert Redford's role to be kind of like the more like surly one, and still to be very likable. And their relationship was really cool. I really sort of liked how they were, they were just sort of outcasts, and they were way behind the times, and there was really no good end for them. And they both sort of knew it. And I think that was... kind of a really, even though there was a lot of comedy in the film, there was something really sort of touching about it. And I think it's amazing to pull that off too, when these guys are, thieves and murderers.
Yeah.
Killing like people, that lawmen just trying to do their jobs.
Yeah.
So I thought all that was really amazing. I thought the chase sequence was pretty cool, where they were like being chased by the guys. They're like, who are those guys? I thought that was actually a pretty good chase sequence as far as those things go. And normally I get annoyed by chase sequences quickly. What's her name was great, I thought.
Catherine Ross.
Yeah, Catherine Ross was great.
Yeah.
I thought their whole like dynamic was pretty cool, where it's like, she kind of likes Paul Newman's character too, and they like each other, but it's still, that's not where the relationship is.
What was going on between those three? What was
going
on? That
was weird. Hey, swingers?
I just thought it was more traditional, where she asks him like, well, if we met first, do you think we would end up hooking up? And I think the answer is probably.
Probably.
But she was with, that wasn't the way it worked out. And that was what they all had accepted. And so that was that.
That's not real life.
That's not a good question to ask when you're in an active relationship with somebody.
Maybe it was back in the day.
Swingers.
Yeah. They use that bike for unheard of things.
All right, this is PG. Yeah. This is no good. I'm sick and I can't do this.
Yeah. Well, you can talk about stuff. You just can't swear.
You can't say words. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. This is what enough NyQuil will do for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice and loopy.
Anyways, sorry, God.
No worries. So, yeah. So, again, just thought it was really entertaining, especially just really entertaining to watch the lead actors and Catherine. I thought that was a lot of fun. I liked the way it ended. I thought that was really cool the way they ended it. I mean, it's like you knew this is the way that it had to end for them, and they knew it, but they didn't want to show it either. Just like, you know, Catherine didn't want to see their end. The audience doesn't really want to see their end that way either. And so for the movie to just cut to the still as they try to make a break for it and they're going to get like slaughtered, I thought that was like a really good way to end it. I think the combination of comedy plus the seriousness of their relationship and the tragedy of their situation was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Was this the first time you've seen this?
No, I've seen it. That's where I thought I'd seen it at least once before. And I remember being really annoyed by the soundtrack at the time. But I swear to God, there was like, I had thought this other like stupid, like what the Bolivia scene is, but I thought there was another song in the movie that was also just voices being, you know, instruments, and it was really bad. But it must have been some other movie I saw that did this.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
No. This was like a 70s movie. The song is like dubby dubby da, dubby dubby da, dubby dubby da, dubby da, dubby da, dubby 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 da.
Hey, wow.
What is that song?
What is that?
No idea.
If I Google dubby
da, Larry David whistling.
I've tried.
What song is this?
Because I swear to God it was the bicycle scene where they did this, but no, it was Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, which is much better. But I don't know where that damn song comes from. Audience, please, if there's anybody out there who knows.
Yeah. Da, da. I Googled dubby da, dubby da, movie montage. Nothing came up.
Yeah. I tried to look for it because I swear to God, I thought the bicycle scene had that instead of Raindrops for some reason. So I don't know what happened in my life.
Oh.
But anyway, really interesting. Interesting. Again, I don't know. Maybe just because Burt Bacharach was associated with it, I think that they're like, yeah, we're going to do some wild, crazy stuff with the music, and we're going to have some good musical sequences because he's a genius. I don't know. But I thought those were the things that sort of bothered me most about the film were some of the musical sequences. But yeah.
Yeah. TC, have you seen this before?
Yeah, it was like my third time seeing it.
Third time. So what do you think?
Yeah. And it's a fun movie to watch because you don't have to pay attention, really.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Easy one.
There's nothing deep. There is nothing deep about this movie.
Nope. No, that's
bunch
true.
You got a bunch of train robbers and they go on the run. That's basically it.
The simple love of a man and another man and a woman and then the other man's love for that woman and a bicycle and the weird things they do behind the closed doors of their house.
Oh, yeah. Swingers. it's a good one. It's funny. There's a lot of good jokes in there. Newman's great. Old baby blue eyes is what I call him.
Yeah.
Steely-eyed.
He's like Sinatra.
Yeah, everyone's real good looking in this movie.
Yeah, they're very good looking. Redford's character is great. Starts off with a bang when he shoots that guy's belt off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they chose Bolivia.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why would you ever choose Bolivia? It's like, hey, let's go rob banks in a place where we don't look like the people. That makes sense. Like, they're not going to find us immediately. Yeah. Anyway, they go. They're screwed.
That's a really... Yeah. They did. I mean, that's why they died, though, right? I guess because they are dumb bank robbers.
Yeah, and they pissed off the wrong kind of people.
They're just stuck in their ways, too. They're just, you know, I mean, like the guy, I thought that one line of the one sheriff, who that was kind of a funny scene. He's like, tie me up, damn it.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was funny. But yeah, you say like, look, I've never met a more affable man, but you're just a two-bit crook and your time is, your days are numbered. Yeah. You know,
shut me up, Sundance, whatever he says at the end. Yeah, this movie, I don't know.
But yeah.
This movie's weird, man. I think I liked the first half of it, and I didn't like the second half of it. Mm. Did you guys find any mood changes? Like, the second half, it loses, like, all direction and becomes unfunny, and it's just a bunch of, like, weird montages of them running around and doing confusing shit and then dying for no reason.
I mean, you got a point.
Roger Ebert said the same thing. He had the same kind of review about the movie, that, like, the first part was really good, and then you just sort of wonder where that good movie went.
Yeah. That's what as soon as like the split for me was when they did that montage of them leaving the country.
Right. Once they're going to Bolivia. Right. And then they're, but
it's all
sepia
toned photos
like,
and
shit. Yeah. I kind of liked that one.
That was weird.
I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
I didn't get it. Like, I was actually pretty confused because I figured they're in Utah. And if you're going to go to South America, you would just go through Mexico. So I was like, what the fuck are they doing in New York City?
Yeah, why'd they go to New York?
Yeah.
They went to New York to get a boat to go to Bolivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
But I didn't get that. I was like, wait a minute. What the fuck's going on? They're taking a little detour to like, aren't they known criminals? How are they going to all these fancy ass places in New York being known criminals, not masking themselves and like getting away with it? It was confusing.
Because back then they just did sketch.
That's true. You're like, hey, is this you? And you're like, no. And you're like, okay, free to go.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That guy's in Utah. We're in New York. Why would we be here? Maybe that was the reason.
Oh, man.
No one would be looking for him in New York, really.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They did hire, wasn't that guy with the white hat from New York or something, though? Like one of those guys?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Was he a union guy?
Was he a, yeah. What do they call him?
What's Union that? Pacific guy.
The P, what's that P word? It's like the first police force.
What, the posse?
No, what? Yeah.
What?
Like the whole idea of the super posse they had in this was not a thing before Butch Cassidy, apparently. And it worked so well. So then they started actually doing it, like in reality.
And now we have cops.
Like, it's like, if all the cops are good, then the outlaws won't fuck with them and we can win all of the time. As opposed to the cops being, you know, trying to gather up their own posses of a bunch of schlubs living in their weird, dusty, shitty little towns and everyone being cowards and crap and not wanting to go.
How about the sale? I love the sales guy taking a chance to get the crowd.
Yeah, he's like,
that was funny. That was classic America right there.
Yeah.
That'd be a weird time to live when bicycles didn't exist. I thought they were like around for a lot longer than 100 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
Apparently
I didn't
not.
Realize they weren't around then either.
Yeah. John, you know.
What?
Age joke.
How long bicycles
burn.
Age
joke.
Yeah.
Burn. Yeah.
Sorry. I saw a golden opportunity.
Tired and it's just
I'm tired.
We're all sick.
What?
We're all sick. But yeah, I mean, even after they go to Bolivia, there's nothing really funny after. Like I was laughing pretty hard the first half. Second half, I don't think I laughed once at all.
I like the where the story was trying to go in terms of they were trying to go straight, trying to like change, but they couldn't. And I don't know. I like those aspects of it too. It slowly turned into more of a tragedy, I think. And whether or not that worked is kind of a, I guess, more of a matter of opinion, or whether or not you want that at that point, right?
Yeah.
Because I know, like, I think, like, originally the movie was funnier, and they cut a lot of the funny because audiences found it too funny.
For the director's taste.
Right, I know, yeah. I know. So, like, so apparently they cut back a lot of the funny. So that this might be, like, they even, like, in their first cut had the movie you wanted, Denny.
I know. Like, where are those scenes? Put it back in. Let's see.
All the way through, right? No kidding. Why not? Why don't they do a recreation of it?
Yeah.
Right? If they have them. Because it would be at least interesting to see that. Because those two were great together. Like, as far as a comedy team, like, Newman being the wisecracking guy and Redford being kind of the straight man, sort of. I thought it was a really good combo, which I really liked. You know, and it made the characters really endearing.
Yeah. And I mean, usually with movies like this, if I don't like it, I'm sitting there being like, that doesn't make any sense. Nah, gonna note that, talk about that on the podcast. But this movie it's so silly that, you know, things that don't make sense, you're like, doesn't matter. It's funny.
No,
these guys are fun to watch. Yeah,
exactly. So I don't know. The question is, I guess if you still, I guess the director had it in mind that he wanted to end on this tragedy. Like, what do you do if you're making this comedy and they get slaughtered at the end of the comedy? If that's just not going to work very well or what? I don't know. But
it worked really well. People like when in the first cut, apparently there was like standing ovations and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was good.
So the first cut was.
Yeah. Like they were laughing at the freeze frame shot. When he's like, you can't laugh at the freeze frame shot. I'm like, why not? These guys are bad people. Let them die being laughed at. That's appropriate.
That's kind of true, right?
Yeah. They're not heroes. They're assholes. They kill innocent people.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they did. It was a light take on like really bad people, right?
Yeah.
Like the guy's the fastest gun drawer. What does that mean? That means he kills people a lot.
Right.
He's got practice.
Yeah. But look at his mustache. I mean, can you hate him? Look at his freaking mustache.
Can you?
God,
when he smiles
no.
at you and winks. Can you hate him? Nah.
I mean, no. Look at the other one. His blue eyes. They look into your soul. No,
any,
it's beautiful.
Any like Ron Burgundy, whatever, like sort of masculine man stuff is but like a shadow of this.
Yeah. I wonder what it would have been like if they didn't have Catherine Ross's character in this movie. If it would have been a little too much man time.
A little erotic. Oh, yeah. A little homoerotic kind of
thing. They're like, hey, check it out. No. They're not gay. Check it out. He's sleeping with this hot girl. All right. They're not gay.
But they love it. They do love each other, though. And it comes across like they really care for each other, gay or not. And that's, again, something that's really good about this film. Like they.
Yeah.
that really comes across. And that's like maybe like, I guess, I think I read somewhere, it sort of seems to set the stage for every buddy movie afterwards, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this idea of being able to like, you see a relationship between these two buddies, and it's so fantastic that nothing else matters. The rest of the, you know, it's just like, all right, this is good. Good movie. Good buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is a shallow movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's also like, it's really good acting, like really good actors doing, you know, really acting well together and showing like these really cool relationships. The rest of the movie is sort of strangely fluffy, including like, and then it's totally underscored by the musical interludes.
Yeah.
It's kind of break up the movie a little bit weird too.
Yeah, that's strange.
It made me think too, that one scene where they're robbing the bank in Bolivia and they, MOS, TC. I use it right this time.
There you go. You got it right. Yeah. That was all MOSy this time.
I was thinking the entire time watching that, like, I bet they filmed this with audio and then they couldn't cut it together, so it made sense with the dialogue. So like,
maybe
remove it. We'll just put audio over it. Cause I mean, that was a long narrative. Like I actually didn't really understand how they got that guy to lead them into the bank safe. Like, what the fuck was that? Was it just because they looked like fancy and white?
Oh yeah. They were fancy and white, and they were going to invest, or they wanted to like have him show us what you got, where we're going to put our incredible valuables.
Right.
So they were just sitting there chatting away, and he's like, oh yes, yes, yes. Let me show you.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I took away too. But I mean, I could see that being like, well, they fucked up this dialogue.
That could be. I mean, it didn't seem like a very intentional purpose for them not to have any dialogue there and then just have music.
Yeah. But actually saying that out loud now, like this movie was done almost entirely ADR. So that probably
they didn't record any sound, period.
Yeah. They probably had something written though for them to say, right? Because they still have a script
that you could Mozzie, and because then you still want them talking. And
right. And not just flapping their mouths. Like,
yeah, probably just like, well, yeah, no, I took my daughter to the circus the other day. It was fun. Like,
yeah.
Just making up stupid shit. Yeah, who knows? I mean, it was like, no one would really do that, right? In real life, the bank guy, come on, they're not going to just let you into the vault.
Yeah,
they
knows?
Used to back in the day. You know? I don't know.
I thought that same thing,
especially
maybe.
Especially in
though.
Bolivia, where they, even if they're white, like, isn't that more reason to be sketched out? Why are you down here?
Yeah.
They looked fancy as hell. Her hats were freaking.
She was
big.
Hot, dude.
Yeah.
In all those outfits.
Catherine Ross is good. Amazingly attractive.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah. I laughed the hardest, I think, at the scene where they put too much dynamite on the safe.
Yeah,
that was funny.
You think you use enough there, Butch?
Boom! Yeah.
But they also just said it's the same guy again. They're like, hey, look who it is.
Woodcock.
Whatever his name. Yeah, Woodcock. There it is. Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, he's happy to see her.
Let's have a look at you.
Hey.
Dude, that guy really existed. That was a real guy.
Oh, really?
And he did get exploded, and he was robbed multiple times by Butch Cassidy.
Oh, man.
I got a list of shit that's like true and not true. There's not very much because it's not a very eventful movie, I guess. But yeah, the kicked in the nuts thing, that was... very risque, believe it or not, for the time.
Really?
Yeah. They had to, they didn't want to linger on it. They didn't want to show it directly. Because, I mean, they did. It looked like it kicked him in the nuts pretty damn hard.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They must have just
clip
like,
there.
Put a cup on him and then just had at it for like one take, maybe.
That was a good scene.
Yeah. Yep. What did he expect from a thief?
Yeah, that's true. Should have kept his wits about him, that giant, giant man.
Giant man. I know, seriously.
I thought it was funny every time they were about to have sex, they never did because they were taking their clothes off for way too long.
Oh.
You know?
I didn't notice
that.
That
was a little weird when he had the gun on her and they played it out like serious.
Like he was
going to
rape her. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote that down like, this is stupid. In reality, this wouldn't happen, right? Because she wouldn't be afraid. It's just doing that to trick the audience that in their reality doesn't exist. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you guys think? Do you guys have anything you want to talk about in the movie?
No.
I think it was really interesting, like Steve McQueen, Dustin Hoffman, all these other actors were considered before Robert Redford, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, like Warren Beatty as well.
It was going to be Steve McQueen, but they couldn't settle on who got top billing, supposedly. So that meant that's why Steve McQueen ended up bowing out and Robert Redford ended up coming in. And then I guess the film was initially The Sundance Kid and Butch Cassidy. That was the original title. But because Paul Newman was the top billed star, they switched it because he couldn't have the Sundance Kid come first when it was Robert Redford, who was relatively
brand
unknown.
New.
Yeah.
So they so these guys that tried to go up against Newman. He was like, no, I'm top billing. Yeah. Screw well, you guys.
Newman, it was, I don't even know if it was Newman saying that or whatever, but it was just like that was the way of the
Well,
Hollywood
you'd have
stuff,
to have somebody to fight over it, right? Like he got it. So someone was fighting him for it and couldn't get it and bowed out.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
But Newman was like top actor Hollywood.
Newman was like, look, I've got blue cheese dressing coming. All right. I'm top billing.
Yeah. John, I wrote down one of my notes. I wrote freaking Mary Poppins horrible music when they were doing that bike stuff.
Yeah.
It reminded me of like, Mary Poppins, like Dick Van Dyke doing his like, hey kids, check me out. Doot, 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 doot. And you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. It was just seemed so strange. Yeah. I don't know.
There's that really cool shot where the badass train with the six horses comes riding in behind the blown up train and it pulls up and like the smoke is being sucked into the train. Did you guys notice that? It was like reversed footage.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice that. It was reverse footage. Because
it was like, billowy smoke everywhere, and the train pulls up, like, coming directly at the camera, and you can see the smoke going, like, back into the train. So they must have, like, backed the train up and then reversed the footage or something.
Weird.
But I thought that looked pretty cool. There was, when they were running away from the super posse, they were running through the desert, and they're like, do you think we lost them? You're like, look at your fucking tracks, man. God damn it, I keep swearing. Yeah. Look at your, like, don't go in the desert. They're going to follow you 100% because look at your tracks.
Yeah, you don't need an Indian to come find you. Like, you're leaving tracks everywhere you go with that horse and you're in your shoes. Yeah.
The rocks, though, that was a good idea.
Yeah. I did like the chase sequence. I thought that was well done. I don't know. Did you guys like that, too?
That was the best part of the movie, I thought.
Yeah.
It was kind of repetitive, but it was awesome every time just because the landscapes looked good, where they would be in the foreground and the camera would pan over and there'd be like these five guys way off in the distance.
It was a good sense of tension.
And then they slowly got closer every shot.
Yeah. I mean, I normally don't like chase sequences that go on a long time, but that one I thought was pretty cool. And then the end of that sequence with them jumping off the cliff was great, where they're bickering with each other about it.
And I mean, you got to figure they didn't really have walkie talkies back then, did they?
No,
I guess
no, they didn't have anything.
How did they do that? Like, do they're like, okay, at 5:10 p.m., you guys start going, and we're gonna start the show.
Sorry. I was thinking you were thinking of it in the Old West, but you're right. Like, how did they coordinate?
How did they coordinate those people riding so far?
Maybe
out
so flashlight Morse code, like.
Well, like with a mirror or something with the sunlight? I mean, come on. What do you...
That's true.
I mean, I guess it's... I don't know.
Well, no.
They were pretty far away.
Wait a minute. All right. This was like 1960s. They had radios.
They had radios, I guess. Then, yeah, they just had these bigger, little ones that you'd wear.
Like a...
They'd have like the ones in war or something.
Right, yeah, right. War phones.
Radar outfit.
Yeah. It cranking up and stuff.
Oh, yeah. This is like during the Vietnam War and stuff. So they had some war technology probably that was bleeding out into the public, I would imagine.
True. And with the price of the Hollywood person, they could probably
find one.
Some better stuff than
just like
than the consumer.
Go to the set of Apocalypse Now and be like, hey, man, you got any leftover radios?
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's not that long.
Yeah. Though.
But still, there was some good coordination going on.
Yeah, for sure.
I always think movies with horses have got to be difficult.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. I totally agree.
Especially because those horses were really that trained. Like when he was trying to shoo them away.
And they weren't going. I know.
And you're like, well, though, you know, they're not acting. Those horses are just that trained somehow. Smart. Unless they were tied to it like below where you couldn't see. Their feet were just like chained to the ground.
No, I don't think they'd do
that. No, that'd be too mean to the horses.
Yeah.
The scene where... Yeah, Butch is like with the prostitute and the Sundance Kid is like in the room looking out the window.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
And then Butch is like egging on the Sundance Kid. He's like, why do you keep looking out the window? Like, stop looking out the window. Like, where else is he going to look, man? You're like banging this prostitute in the bed. You want him to watch you?
That's weird.
It feeds into the theory that, you know, they do watch each other.
They like each other.
When he was looking out the thing, why do you think they came back? Like the search party went through and then they went away for a minute and then they came back. Was it because they lost the trail? Was that what it was?
Oh, I don't know. No, I. You mean like after the guy told them to go the other way?
Yeah.
Why did they come
and they
back?
Ran away and then they came back.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just thought about it for a while and they're like, is he lying? I don't know. Is he lying? Gallop, gallop, gallop. I think he's lying. Let's go back.
Gallop, gallop, gallop. Shake surprise? What does that mean? Snake surprise. Snake surprise. I don't know why I wrote that down.
Is it when he shoots it and it hits the
yeah.
snake?
I thought that was going to like give them away
that
or something.
That was good. Well, sure it did. I mean, yeah. Well, they already were being like, they were still being tracked at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't think they were already screwed at that point.
Dude, they were horrible at getting away. Like, you know, the desert thing, there was a scene where they climb up a cliff and then they get to the other side, like at the top of the mountain, and they get to this like sheer steep ass cliff and they just dive head first down the cliff and just roll down the hill. That's not a good idea.
I mean, they're thieves. They're not wilderness
but
guys.
You know, I mean, like, don't you think being out in the wilderness, the number one thing is like, don't break your leg, because then you're going to die out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
That would be my, you know, that's what I'd be afraid of mostly, because then you just freaking starve to death. That'd be bad. I don't know if you guys do water jumps. Would you do that water jump? That was not that high.
You know,
it wasn't. No. I don't know. It looked kind of high to me.
It didn't. I agree.
It was like 40 feet or something. It was not that bad.
What about the depth of the water?
It looks really deep. Yeah.
How deep does the water have to be per foot of height?
And that you're jumping into a river, like, where it's not like a calm sort of, so you're going to get like washed downstream right after you jump there.
But that's
too,
fine.
Which is the other.
Like, worst case scenario, you like skin your knee or something like that on one of the rocks.
No, worst case scenario, your brain's bashed out on the rocks and die. That's probably worst case scenario.
I don't know, man. I've gone white water rafting a bunch and fallen out of the things in the rapids, and it's not unsafe, man. It's like that. Was like
really?
Category
don't
three.
You have a,
not bad.
Don't you have a thing on, a life vest on that keeps you floating?
You do. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You have a level of knowledge and experience that I don't have then.
And I'm guaranteeing you Butch Cassidy didn't have.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah. And the Sundance Kid couldn't swim. So I'm surprised he survived, because how was
he
swimming?
By hanging on to Butch.
Yeah.
Bitching the whole way down.
Yeah. I also thought it was kind of stupid, if we want to get into the weird criticisms I have, that they went back to freaking Catherine Ross's house after they escaped. If they're the best posse in the country, they know about Catherine Ross, right?
You'd think, yeah.
You would think, yeah.
Threesome, question mark? Answer is yes. oh, man, I thought it was like, imagine back in the day, 26, single, and a school teacher was the bottom of the pit.
Yeah.
I know, right? That sounds like a winner.
Yeah.
Even the relationship was really, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it was shocking back then, but it was still pretty cool where like Butch comes out, what are you doing? I'm stealing your woman. Take her.
Yeah. He's just like, whatever.
He's confident. I think that's what that was. He's like, yeah, he's not taking her.
I don't know.
You heard that line. He's like, you got to back me up. What does he say? I feed you or something like that. He's like, your job is to back me up because I feed you.
Oh, really?
Robert Redford says that to her. Yeah, when they're in Bolivia and they get to the bank and it's not a bank, it's just like a broken down place, and Robert Redford gets all pissed.
I don't recall this part at all.
What?
John,
what?
Do you know this part?
Wait a minute, which part?
It's right when they're in Bolivia and they get off the train at the Bolivian Nacional.
Oh, right when they get there?
Yeah. And they're walking around
he's
with the pigs, and he's like,
you know, this is not
Redford's
what he was
all
thinking.
Pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Redford's all pissed. He turns around. He says to her, "You gotta back me up because you."
Oh,
I
yeah,
feed
yeah.
you. He
okay,
says something.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's not very nice of
so
him.
So he's not afraid. Yeah, he's a prick. Yeah. There was a lot of good like examples of some gnarly, like old
sexism.
School male and female stuff. Yeah,
good old fashioned sexism.
Yeah,
freaky. Oh yeah, it shits on Bolivia a lot in this movie. Bolivia is still a place. I mean, they probably don't like this movie very much.
What did they say about Bolivia?
They're like, this place is horrible. It's a piece of shit. Why would we come here? It's like the worst place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they say like, even at the end, they're like, as long as it's not as bad as here, let's go to Australia or whatever, like, you know?
Right. Well, they speak English in Australia, which, again, it was pretty funny.
I mean, yeah.
They were trying to deal with the language. There were some pretty funny scenes there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were. And how come she knew the language?
Teacher.
Because she's a teacher.
Oh, but she knows Spanish too? I mean,
yeah, I guess, yeah. I don't know. Where was she? Like, was that New Mexico or was that like Wyoming? Where the hell were they? Where was her house? Do we know?
No.
Yeah, I don't think they said it.
Kind of looked like Montana, Wyoming or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Utah, Arizona, somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that weird desert area of the country. Nobody noticed that they were practicing bank robber speak in Spanish in public. They're just wandering around being like, open the safe.
Open. Hands up. Yeah, like they didn't hear them saying that. Oh, they might not have understood English.
No, but they were learning it in Spanish. So that she was like, she's saying it,
oh,
and
true.
They would repeat it in Spanish.
That's true. And then like everyone else around them would be like, what the hell are these people doing?
There's like, you know, white bank robbers around. And I guess it was before they robbed the bank there. I guess unless you eavesdrop on conversations, which I do all the time.
I mean, we're used to some nosy ass situations at this point. Everybody's in on everybody's.
It's one of my favorite activities when I'm at a restaurant and there's a lull in conversation. Just pick up on someone else's and judge them very harshly.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I think they're judging our conversation next to us. Really? Yeah. Hold on. Listen. See? They're making fun of us. All right. Now what do we talk about? That's what
I always get nervous if people next to me are being quiet. I'm like, they're fucking listening to our conversation. I know it. Because what else would they be listening to?
Paranoid.
You don't think they'd be listening? I listen to all the time other people's conversations. Are we to believe that they're so stupid they went to a Spanish-speaking country, went to a bank, and were surprised that the bank teller spoke Spanish?
What was that about?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you two?
Yeah. And this is not the kind of movie where any of this matters, but I'm just pointing this out. So it doesn't really, I think the second half, the voidness of laughter, and also the story didn't progress. Like there was a progression, a movement, and then they get to Bolivia and nothing really happens, right? They just
had to kind of start over.
Kind of.
So it was kind of like, yeah.
But at least with like the earlier robberies, there's like named people.
It feels a little flimsier there, but they're trying to they're trying to go straight. They rob the bank and then they try to go straight and then they have the coal mine thing and the guy gets shot and then they rob some jungle people.
Never rob the jungle people. There are snakes in the jungle.
I guess. And then, so it does feel a little bit, it seems to kind of not be as cohesive or as clearly going in a direction at that point, I guess.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of weird too. A lot of the scenes would give them ample opportunity to run away. Like when they were eating dinner at the very end, they shoot the plate. Like, why not just walk up behind them and shoot them in the head? They don't know you're coming to get them. You know, they're relaxing.
Yeah.
The same thing when they were with the coal miner guy and they shoot the old guy first and then they miss all the other times. Like, shoot one of the younger dudes. They're going to be better with a gun, I would imagine. You know, I don't know. Star Wars syndrome. Hmm. They miss every time. And James Bond, you know, the good guys never get shot.
This movie is a lot for effect. Like you said, I mean, you can try to criticize it, but it's still it's not what it's about.
It's for the fun. It's for the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We've been talking about how the Catherine Ross character leaves because it sounds like, John, you were talking about how you think she leaves because she kind of has a premonition or whatever. She thinks they're going to die, right?
No, she knows they're going to their end. She knows it. And that's why she wants to go. Because she said earlier in the film, she's like, I don't want to see you die.
She does say that. But right before she leaves, the, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid are talking about how, like, what they would do if they had to get out of the business. And like, they were like, oh, I couldn't be a farmer. That's too much work. Like, I couldn't be a stableman. That's like, those hours are too hard. And she's sitting there just listening. So, and she leaves like, the next scene, kind of. And I thought maybe instead of, being afraid for their death, she's just like, these two people are just criminals because they're lazy.
Idiots.
They're terrible, lazy assholes. And she doesn't like that. Like, she lost attraction for them or something.
Oh, well, that's an interesting, that's an interesting take on it, too, that maybe she's just realizing that, but she knows that. She knew that before then.
Not necessarily. True. Maybe she thought they did it because they were good at it. Maybe she thought like, oh, they can do anything. But no, like they can only do this one thing.
Maybe she liked them both because they both equal about one real man. And like that part where when Newman gets mad, when they finally figure out they're all in trouble, they'd just gotten to her house again, I think. And he's like goes on this tirade about whatever that guy was. I forget his name.
The white hat guy?
Yeah, the white hat guy. He's all pissed off at him for like chasing down a criminal.
Yeah. Yeah, they have weird.
You can't be mad at this. You're robbing banks. You're robbing trains.
You're a bad guy, man.
It's not their fault you're getting in trouble right now.
Yeah. Stop stealing their money. I like that part too when he's talking about it must cost them more to hire these guys than we're taking
from
them.
Yeah, right. They just pay me. That's the tirade.
Like, that's the worst logic ever.
Me, that's like the dumbest thing going. Yeah.
He's paying to stop you and he's paying to put fear in like other people. Like there's a, stopping you is important kind of thing. I don't know. Cause I think we do that a lot with like, bank robberies, still, they probably spend more on the police force and the training and the people going there and like all the equipment than what's stolen from the banks. But you want to like get people from not wanting to rob banks ever,
Well, it's gotten personal anyway. He's pissed.
The train owner guy is very mad.
Yeah.
As he should be.
Yeah. So in the last shootout part, did you guys notice that Robert Redford shoots way more than 12 bullets at the very end of that?
Oh yeah, their bullets never ended.
Yeah, which was weird because they focused a lot in the first half of that, which was really cool, about shooting exactly 6 or 12 depending on how many guns they had in their hands, and then reloading their guns. And that was like said multiple times. And then like the whole thing is going to get the bullets. Like they, there was a bullet count and there was like very accurate with it. And I counted and it was good. Like up until Sundance Kid was out just in the middle, like shooting a lot. He shoots like 18, 19 times.
But he gave, Butch gave him his gun.
Right.
Too. So he switched guns.
But I mean, you have two guns in your hands. There's six shooters. Right, so the max plus is 12.
Right.
And it was more than 12 by a lot. And it was like rapid fire.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. So I don't know. Yeah. Small thing.
That's true.
Also, John, you said earlier that you thought they knew they were going to die, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't think that's the case.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I don't know. TC, what do you think? Did you think they knew running out there that they were going to die and that the whole conversation before was just them joking around and making light of their certain deaths?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a good point. They didn't. I don't think they knew.
The army was there. They didn't know that.
The film doesn't give you any clue that the army's there. You're right. I think you're right. It just seemed, I mean, maybe it's hard to say because we knew they were going, that it was bad.
Yeah.
As they're like shot up and talking to each other. Maybe I just want to think that like they know that this is the end and they're just talking the way they are, even though knowing that it's the end, they're still bullshitting each other. I really like that idea. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's probably the case that they didn't know, right? That they were just jumping out there.
Yeah. I think the last thing that Butch says is like, you didn't see that. I forget what his name is, but the white hat guy out there, did you? And he's like, no, not really. Right. And he's like, good. I thought we were in trouble for a second.
We were in trouble. Right, right. Yeah. That was funny.
That's a good point.
So I thought like, you know, we have five Bolivian police officers out here. We can take those guys. Holy crap. There's 100 army people.
They didn't realize that they were surrounded at that point. How about how it took all those guys to take down two dudes?
Yeah. Kind of awesome. Can you imagine the bloody pulps of individuals that they were left after 100 rifles were firing at them?
Jesus.
Yeah. You guys want to hear how they actually died?
Sure.
Kind of brutal. There's some conspiracy theories around this too, which is kind of fun. But the bodies in Bolivia that got shot up that are mostly by most historians agreed that they were the bodies of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. They were found behind obstructions. Like one was behind a big vase or jar or something like that, holding onto it. And the other one was hiding behind the door. And they like the guy holding onto the vase had like all both of them had a lot of gunshot wounds in their arms. They got shot a lot in their arms. Because I think they were like, you know, peering out of the doorway and kind of firing and they're sticking their arms out, getting shot, pulling back in, like back and forth. So they were like bleeding a lot. And so they only got shot in the arms and then they both had one bullet in their head, each bullet hole in the head. Butch had it in the temple and the Sundance Kid had it straight in the middle of the head. So the theory is that they got shot up, they kind of admitted defeat, they were bleeding out there in pain. Butch Cassidy put a bullet in the Sundance Kid's head and then put a bullet in his own head.
Oh, wow.
Because they were, you know, their arms are just like shreds because they're just getting like peppered with bullets.
That would have been a more dramatic ending.
That would have been awful. That'd be
it'd be brutal.
Yeah.
No comedy in that one.
No. Maybe they should have filmed it that way. The director would have been more, you could have had comedy up until the
are
last 30
now,
seconds.
Huh? Are
and
you
then
happy?
Just brutal violence and suicide. Did you like that, audience? Really took a dark turn there at the end, didn't it, hon?
Yeah. Oof.
So yeah, I watched some making ofs and shit on this movie. You guys want to hear some stuff?
Sure. Yeah, it's your stuff.
Yeah. There was a commentary. It had George Roy Hill. One of you guys, John, say George Roy Hill. Say that as quickly as
George
possible.
George Roy Hill. George Roy Hill.
Can you say that fast, TC?
George Roy Hill.
What the hell's wrong with me?
George Roy Hill. George Roy Hill.
I want to add George like Roy an extra R. George Roy. Yeah. Anyway, it's the director, this guy, Bob Crawford, that made one of the documentaries in the movie, and then Conrad Hall, who is the cinematographer, who also actually was married to Catherine Ross during the filming of this movie, strangely enough.
Whee!
Yeah.
Who got in trouble on the set all the time.
Yeah, she got kicked off the set.
She got banned because she was trying to run the camera.
Because Crawford was... her husband, he like let her for that train scene where they're all hopping off that, you know, super train with the five horses or whatever. There were five cameras and she like the Conrad guy let her control one of them and she was like kind of screwed it up, I guess. So he like kicked her off the set unless she was filming scenes with herself just to keep her out of trouble because they were like f-ing around because they're, you know, in love and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of weird. I mean, do you guys have any more thoughts on the movie proper before we get into this?
No, just it was very entertaining. It was if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, see it if you haven't seen it. I think I texted my brother, like, if you haven't seen this yet, you're missing out.
It's and funny. Now we'll hear the future of music.
Yeah. What was going on during that montage in this movie that you made up in your head?
I thought it was the bicycle scene.
But can you think of anything else?
No, I have completely hallucinated some alternate reality. I don't understand it. That song exists. That song has to exist. Whatever that other song that I heard, it does exist. So I just don't know where I saw it in what context. It would have fit in this film. They could have done that during the bicycle scene.
And it would have worked.
It would have worked. Well, or it would have failed in the same way that the other musical numbers fail, right? But it wouldn't have been surprising.
I'm really curious. I hope you find it, John. I'm rooting for you.
I have some quest.
So for the commentary, and speaking of the special effects, a general review is like, I don't know, if you like this movie, you might find some stuff in here. It wasn't overly entertaining. During the Catherine Ross, it was really gross. During the Catherine Ross, like, undressing scene, the guy whose audio was being recorded was like, you could hear him breathing and like licking his lips and shit. You're like, dear God, man.
Oh, really? I don't notice. I didn't
gate
notice
the
that.
Audio,
oh,
for Christ's sake. No, it was, so it's during the commentary. He was...
The commentator was starting to breathe a little
heavy. He's like, oh, Catherine Ross is such a beautiful woman.
Oh, God. He's one of those guys. He's this Hollywood guy.
He could be.
Yeah, I used to take her into my room and just take it out. I digress. She's a beautiful woman.
have you ever heard of Day for Night, TC?
No.
Type of shooting, apparently. It.
Where they shoot during the day and it looks like night?
Yeah.
Kinda?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah. And that's that scene, I would assume that they were on the rocks or up on the mountain.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do it by, they zoom in a lot, apparently. They're really far away and they zoom in a lot and it makes it so not a lot of light can come through the camera they're using.
Right.
Which makes it darker than it actually is, but it gives better coverage than what you would get if you filmed at night and brought lights in and shit, you know?
Yeah. Because it doesn't look real when you do that.
So I thought that was cool. I didn't know about that. I think, what was that other movie we watched where instead of shooting it like that, they just like turned the tint down and it looked really fucking weird. It was like a graveyard shootout. I think it was a Western, right? Remember that?
Was that Clint Eastwood where he murdered the whole town?
Yeah, whatever. It was like for a few dollars more, maybe. Was that what it was?
Yeah, Fistful of Dollars.
Yeah. Better looking than that. So that scene, the photo montage of them being in New York, that stuff, I've never seen Hello, Dolly, but if you watch that, it's the same set. And they were at the, you know, in Hollywood trying to get rights to film a scene in there. The reason that why they did it in photographs is they wouldn't allow filming because they didn't want, they didn't want it for whatever reason to be filmed as well. But they got in there with like a picture camera and like sat around the sets and got pictures and used it for the montage. So they kind of got away with it.
Huh.
The director had a bad back and hit it the entire shoot because he was afraid the studio was going to kick him out and fire him if they found out. Because since they were like...
They probably would have.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they filmed a lot on location, like in the middle of nowhere. Which was probably not efficient for him being...
But, I mean, everybody knew he had a bad back. He was probably wincing and moaning every time he moved.
Yeah. I think we talked about this, too, in a previous Western. Studio horses know action. Like, when a director yells action...
They do?
They know it.
Yeah.
So
no, we haven't talked about that.
I think, so what we did talk about was like when actors, they get nervous before, when action gets called and their horses can tell when a human is nervous. So the horses tense up and everything looks a little weird. But apparently these horses that they used for this movie knew the word action. So like they would screw up sometimes because the director was not used to not saying action. He didn't do Westerns most of the time. So he would say it and the horses would just start bolting in different directions. And you're like, oh, I forgot. Not supposed to say action. Sorry. No. Wrangle them up. Get them back here. Everyone take five. We're going to wrangle the horses. Get our stars back here in front of the cameras. Andy's over the mountain. He's gone. No one has phones. We've lost. We've lost Newman's own. Salad dressing, as we know,
we
it will never
blue
be created.
Cheese. Ranch is still doing all right, but
why did I also think salad dressing? Come
Thousand on, Island, Thousand Island is coming back. I see him now. All right, so we've got two out of the three. Someone go find ranch.
A lot of the locations in Mexico, they had to bring all of the like the lights, the cameras, the sound equipment, the props on horseback because the towns are so desolate they didn't have roads.
Wow,
which would suck.
That would suck.
Yeah. for the making of. This movie broke a ton of records. It was like one of the, it's still like, if you do it for inflation, if you measure it by inflation, it's the 34th highest grossing movie of all time, which is crazy.
Not bad considering that was before like the blockbuster stuff, you know?
Yeah, pre-Jaws territory. Robert Redford agrees with us that the song and the bike scene was very off.
Oh, really?
He saw it and he thought his career was ruined because he hated it so much.
Wow.
He's like, what is this? He actually went to the director and was like, why did you do this? This is terrible. And he's like, I don't care. It's a good song. It's like, all right, wow. I guess this is the end of me. But people love it. I don't know. That song was written for this movie. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to look it up. I mean, I didn't know, but yeah. I mean, it's a good song.
It's a, I can't believe it was made for this movie.
Yeah.
Because I've, you know, you hear it everywhere else now. And I saw it. I was like, oh, that's a weird use of that song. And I'm like, wait a minute. They made
Raindrops?
It for
this? Is that the one you're talking
about? Yeah, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
That was made for that song?
Made for that scene. Doesn't even make any sense.
Made for that scene. Yeah. That makes no sense.
Yeah. Bizarre. And it won an Oscar for best song. Like, it's a great song, but what the fuck?
Wow.
Doesn't make sense to me. First reviews of this movie were bad. Really bad. But the audiences loved it, and the word of mouth made it tons of cash. So, John, the review that you read by Ebert, was that written, like, back in 69? Probably, right?
Possibly. I can look.
The stars of the movie were the only people that weren't... you guys ever heard of the term Montezuma's Revenge?
Yeah, he wrote it in 69.
69. Montezuma's Revenge. Ever heard of that?
Anyway, back to diarrhea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. TZ, you know that? You know about that?
Montezuma's Revenge?
Yeah.
Oh, I know about that.
You do?
Yes.
You guess? Wait, no. Like the
I know about like the metaphor. I don't know about the rest of it. Whatever you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I never heard about that. Drinking water in Mexico gives you diarrhea and it's called Montezuma's Revenge?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know about that.
Are you lying right now?
No, I just figured I figured there was something more important that I was missing there.
Oh, no. That's it. Diarrhea. Got to touch on poop every episode. Got him.
Yeah, it's just diarrhea.
Yeah. Yeah. So the everyone on the shoot would like, they brought the entire film crew down there. Partially because they had to call them in later because everyone was getting sick in rotation, kind of, with this diarrhea they were getting from drinking the water.
Probably get the ice in the water.
Yeah. The three leads avoided it because all they drank the entire shoot in Mexico was alcohol and soda.
Awesome.
Yep.
My kind of people.
Yeah. And Robert Redford said that this was his favorite movie he ever made, like during the shoot, because him and Paul Newman would just drink beer.
And just get hammered.
And
by
just
the
get
end
hammered in Mexico. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's got to be fun.
It's easy for the leads. It's hard for people doing the work.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely want water when you're sweating all day, holding equipment and moving
have a
doing
Sprite.
All the
shit. Rot your teeth out.
No thanks.
Yep.
Yeah.
The scene where, the bicycle scene, where what's his name goes backwards into the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the entire thing was done by Paul Newman, except for the backwards part, which was done by the cinematographer.
Oh. He played stuntman for a day.
Yeah.
Did he get hurt?
No. He was good.
Lucky break.
That cow did gore him to death, though.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
All right. No.
That's too bad.
They decided to cut that out because they wanted it to be
funny.
Yeah,
they just cut that out and didn't talk about that.
Sam Elliott's debut movie.
Which one was
really?
Sam?
You see the back of his head.
Ah.
But he met Catherine Ross on set and he married her like 15 years later.
What? Holy Christ.
Way to go, Sam.
Yeah.
Good job, Sam.
Good job,
15
Sam.
Years later. That's a long time.
It is a long time.
That's a long time of not having your girl.
Yeah. But you know how she rolls. Threesomes all day.
Mm.
He was getting in on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
David Fincher and Chris Columbus both say this is the reason they got into directing. Because this movie.
Huh.
Which is sweet. Because those guys are good. So I got a list here. That's pretty much all I have for trivia. But I got a quick list here of all the stuff that's true and false about the real guys versus the fake guys.
Okay, cool. Go.
People liked Butch. That was true. He was funny. He didn't really hurt people. He was very well known. He would run around if he was in a town and getting like caught. He would knock on a door and be like, I'm Butch Cassidy. Can I hide in your basement? And people were like, yep, sure. Go ahead. And he'd like go hide and people would help him out. It's pretty weird.
That is weird.
Yeah. He was known for like not killing anybody. He would just rob and not kill anybody. And there's no record of him actually like that scene where he's like, I never killed anybody. There's no record of him ever killing anybody. So
really
there's that. The sister of the actual Butch Cassidy was on the set of the shoot, which is weird. I think. I don't know. He had 13 siblings, which is Jesus. But the reason Sundance Kid was named the Sundance Kid is because he went to prison in Sundance. It's like a town in the Midwest somewhere. Butch Cassidy. Cassidy was the friend of his last name he took when he got into crime. And Butch was because he was a butcher before he became a crime guy. Just to let you know.
Wow, no idea.
Yeah. There's no evidence that either of them were good at shooting. There's no evidence of any shootouts that they were in. There's no evidence that they killed anybody. So all that stuff was kind of made up for the movie. The Catherine Ross character, Etta, in the movie, her real name was Ethel. There's almost no information whatsoever on her. People know that like she was with them for that entire period of time, but the teacher thing, probably not true. There was one picture of her and like really, really vague info on her. So she, any type of character that Catherine Ross gave her or the writer gave her was kind of, you know, making stuff up, which is, you know, in contrast to the other two characters, which were pretty accurate for the most part. The real gang was not called the Hole in the Wall Gang. It was called the Wild Bunch. But the Wild Bunch was another movie that came out the same year as this. So they had to change it up. There was only two or three holdups before they had to hightail it to Bolivia. So as opposed to like them being, you know, one after the other, after the other. And also the whole in the Wild Bunch / Hole in the Wall Gang, there was no infighting in that group. There was actually no group like that. The reason that the Wild Bunch is famous because there was a picture they took after robbing a bank once, but that was once. So like there wasn't like a group where they're like, we had a plan, man. They just kind of like, hey, we're going to rob a bank. Do you want to do this one or you want to sit it out? All right, whatever. Like we'll get some more people. We know a bunch of bank robbers, that sort of thing. So it's not as tightly knit. Waterfall jump didn't happen. The super posse was real. Joe LaForge, that's the white hat guy. He was also a real guy.
Oh, really? Okay.
No chase though. Oh yeah, there was no chase. The super posse didn't chase them. What happened was they read a newspaper that they saw that like they had formed the super posse and they were afraid, fearing of death. So I mean, they kind of were chasing him, but there wasn't like a chase scene, you know?
Right.
Yeah. No bodies found by the U.S. No proof they died there. So there's actually like people that like most historians, think that they did die in Bolivia, but some people like to make stories up and say that they saw them afterwards. So I don't know. It's kind of open-ended, but I don't know. Who cares? It's not that important.
Right.
I wanted to say, so the cinematographer too did a bunch of other shit, which is kind of crazy. He did In Cold Blood. He did American Beauty and he did Road to Perdition.
Wow.
So he won Oscars for those three movies. So this guy was good. What did you guys think about the cinematography in this movie?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it gave you a good sense of place, like during the chase scenes and stuff. I assume that's the cinematography as well, like in terms of like giving you this sense of space.
It was a good depth of field.
Even with the shootouts and things like that, there's a really good sense of like the places that you were at. And it seemed to do really well in terms of giving you this sense of being where they were.
Yeah, and I noticed my eyes moving around quite a bit because they like had, like, especially when they lined up a lot of the Mexican army, they had them like lined up and they sort of went from forward towards us backwards.
Yeah.
So my eyes moved a lot. So it was good.
A lot of interesting to look at.
Yeah, a lot of interesting to look at. I mean, some of that is just the space that they're in, but they framed it well.
I thought so. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was like, for the most part, good. Some of the night shots though were kind of hard to see. Was that true on your guys' copies?
Yeah.
It was like very little definition sometimes of like what was going on.
I think so. I don't know. I have a TV that doesn't do dark very well. So in some ways that might be an advantage.
Do you have one of those big backed bent front TVs where you smack it on the side when you're not getting the channel you want?
No, not one of those, but it's just digital, you know, so the blacks aren't truly black sometimes.
Oh, you got to get that liquid crystal.
It sounds like it's bad for you. That'll ruin your life,
does.
Man.
Rot your teeth.
That's all I got, guys.
Nice.
John, would you put this in the top 250?
Yes, I would.
TC, would you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Next movie.
Oh, wait a minute. Justify yourself.
I thought the second half was not good. Period.
It's got two classic actors in it, though.
I mean, the first half was great. I do like the actors. Just the second half, it didn't do anything. Like, it could have...
Yeah.
It could have cut out everything from that.
I still like the second half with the exception of the montages. The two montages were bad, I thought. But
the worst montage was the bank robbery.
Actually, there were
one,
three
right?
of them, right? There were three montages. No. Well, one, you had one montage where
bike montage
in New York. Yeah. Oh, wait. So,
still
sorry,
picture montage.
How many freaking musical interludes do we have here? We have the,
well, the opening. The opening, right?
Yeah.
The silent movie, musical, whatever. Right, right. That's one.
You have the opening, and then you have the bike.
The bike.
And then you have them in New York.
Yeah.
And then you have
the Bolivia bank robbing.
Right. Yeah. Then you have Bolivia bank robbing. But what's is that included in the one where that's where they're like they're talking as a couple and he goes and shows them the bank. That's the Bolivia bank robbing.
Yeah.
Is that also where they have all the posse chasing them in Bolivia with the WWW stuff? Or is that
a it is though,
one?
And it's confusing because it doesn't seem like it, because every once in a while the dialogue jumps in and interrupts the music, but then it goes back to montage, I think.
Okay, so I don't know. All right. Anyway, yeah, it's a lot of montages for the movie. I think though, I watched it and I enjoyed it. I agree with you that it, you know, the second half, it certainly has problems and loses direction, it seems, but I still think I really loved the characters and the acting and I, the tragedy of it, I also really liked. I actually thought that was pretty amazing the way they pulled that off, even though, so even I can kind of like sympathize with the director in the sense that he didn't want to let go of the tragic side of the story either. So
yeah,
I don't know. I still just think it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, opinions are good, right? Difference of opinions.
Yeah. Opinions are great. Everybody deserves to have one. It's just that you're wrong.
Yes. As usual, per usual. Next week, guys, we're going to watch Mad Max Fury Road.
Ooh.
We have a guest.
2015. Action. I think we do have a guest. We will see. I need to check schedules and see what time we're doing it and stuff. But a possible guest. A woman rebels against the Tyrannosaurus ruler in post-apocalyptic Australia in search for her homeland with the help of a group of female prisoners, a psychotic worshiper, and a drifter named Max. Mm. George Miller.
Mm. I've never seen this.
You haven't seen this, dude?
Nah.
Holy shit, TC. Wow. You are in for a treat.
Nice.
Yeah.
I got my new TV, so.
Watch it, TC, at a time where you can blast the volume, like, really, really loud.
All right. Yeah. Right after work, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Go to our website, mission250filmcast.com. Our list is frozen. Check it out. Other episodes and stuff. Email us at mission250filmcast@gmail.com. Like and review on iTunes if you liked it. If you didn't, screw, go away. You know, like us on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. Check out our Twitter. And, we put like, you know, information in the movie and shit like that. I should stop swearing again. And that's about
that's
it, I think.
That's a lost cause.
Yeah.
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 Next week, guys. Talk to you then.
See you guys. Take care.
All right.